אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Annette Sharak, welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Thank you very much, Marielle. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us, please, a little bit about your background and what led you to become involved in Limud Oz as the chair this year?
I've been involved with Limud Oz for a long time. I was first involved in about 2009 or 2010 when Miriam Munns was running it, and she invited me to get involved. And I did, and I absolutely loved it and did that for many years. But around 2020, I pulled back. When it went online because of COVID, I left it. We had some younger people getting involved, and they took over, and they ran the 2020 online event and then a 2022 in-person event. But they're now busy with other things in their lives, and it looked like there wouldn't be Limud again. So a few of us, the steering committee, so that was me with Mandy Katz, Shana Bolton and Nomi Bloom. And Nomi had chaired several Limuds herself. We decided we have to do this. It was a little bit late. We decided a bit later than we might have done in the past, about late last year, that we should go ahead with this. And then we just kind of dived in, and I was the one with the most capacity in my life, so I just took on huge chunks and kind of by default became the chair.
I see. And has it kept you busy? I'm sure it has.
It has kept me busy on and off. I mean, I've still managed to, you know, keep up my work and look, you know, be involved with my family and all those sorts of things. But yes, it's been very busy, and particularly the last 2 months have been extremely busy pulling it all together.
And it should be said as well that you are a professional barrister, so you still work full time. This was just an adjunct to your already heavy workload.
My busy life.
Yes,
exactly. Yes, I don't work full time, but I work as much as my work requires me to, which is variable. So probably not quite full time, which is how I could do this. With a real full time job, you need to pay someone or have a much bigger team doing things.
Do you think that your professional work as being a barrister has informed this role of yours as being the chairperson now for Limud Oz? Has it helped you in your skill set in any way?
Probably just with working to deadlines and making things, you know, requiring that something has to be done by a certain date, and there's no way to avoid that, and that you give it whatever it takes to get there.
Now, can we just discuss some of the themes that have been brought up at Limud Oz? Obviously, geopolitics is a major theme, but then, of course, there's philosophy, there's theology, there was even a Kabbalah class. Can you tell us how you choose these topics, or do you choose the speakers and then they propose the topics, or how does it all work?
So Limud is at its heart a self-grown conference. It began nearly 50 years ago now, 45, 50 years ago in the UK, and the premise is everyone's a learner and anyone can be a teacher. So there's this very wide net cast for people who would like to speak at Limud. People just submit the topics of interest, and if it's on a Jewish topic or has a Jewish connection, whether it's Israel or history or philosophy or Kabbalah or, you know, whatever the hook is, in most cases, we accept the submission. In addition to that, we do curate it to some extent by inviting some special presenters from either interstate or overseas. And there we try to cover off different themes. So history, Israel politics, Jewish text learning, those sort of broad themes. And so we had a wonderful group of people coming from Israel, the UK, the US and Toronto this year. So we had a couple of journalists from Israel, two educators, so Linda Gradstein and Dina Kraft, who are both journalists in Israel. Alex Sinclair is a Jewish educator, but also talks about, you know, the situation and issues that arise in Israel. His wife, Perry Sinclair, works in pluralist education in Israel. So they were covering sort of different aspects of Israel, some overlap in the general approach, but certainly they all had their own take on things. Jeffrey Rubenstein is a renowned academic at NYU who teaches Talmud and literature. He's a, you know, great scholar. Alan Verskin is a marvelous historian from Toronto. Lindsay Simmons teaches Jewish texts in, she was formerly at the London School of Jewish Studies and is still associated there, and is just a wonderful traditional Jewish text teacher. Mark Kligman is a professor of ethnomusicology at UCLA, and he gave beautiful talks about Jewish music. They propose the topics, and generally speaking, if they give us a big list, then we choose from them. But otherwise, if they give us the topics that they are interested in speaking on, we generally accept those.
And so because there was such a massive guest list from abroad, did Limud Oz pay for bringing them here and putting them up in hotels?
Limud generally is a volunteer-run and volunteer-driven. The projects all over the world are volunteer-run. So we do pay for their airfares, economy airfares, I must add, and accommodation while they're in Melbourne. But there is no payment to speakers. They do that as volunteers. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with the wonderful speakers we brought from Sydney. We had my niece, Sarah Charak, who talked about her history thesis, but then also gave a text session. Shoshana Gottlieb, who's a marvellous text teacher. I think she's the head of Jewish studies. I'm not sure what they call it at, I think it's Masada, the North Shore School, Jewish
right.
School.
Yep.
Adina Roth, who is at Emmanuel, also I think head of Jewish studies, and her husband Farrell Roth, who's a musician and gave a gorgeous talk about his life as a musician and as South African music and South African Jewry, and sort of wove them together with some performance, and that was a really lovely session. I didn't get to it, but I heard it was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third category of sessions we have are those where they are local speakers, but we pull the session together or we approach the speaker. So in addition to the self-nominating and the foreign guests, we have a kind of middle category of local speakers that we happen to know about or who are prominent in the community, and we approach them to speak and or put together a panel. For example, there was the panel on whether the centre can hold, which Deborah Stone and the Jewish Independent sort of sponsored, but it was Deborah Stone chairing it, and Josh Burns came, and Naomi Levine from the Jewish News, so the JCCV now, she used to be at the Jewish News, and yeah. There was somebody else on that panel, and that was a really strong session that was, you know, the room was filled to the rafters.
I mean, I attended some of the sessions, and, you know, for example, Alex Sinclair opened, I think it was the Sunday morning, and Jeffrey Rubenstein, I believe, at the same time. There was such an overflow of people there that I was actually standing sort of partially outside of the room.
Yeah. There were a few judgment calls we didn't get quite right. We thought that people would be slow to come on Sunday morning, so we didn't program too much in that first hour, and we should have programmed more because there was there were a huge number of people arrived in time for the first session, and there were only a couple of things on, and so those sessions were, you know, heavily, heavily attended.
Why do you think Limud Oz is important?
First of all, Jews, we enjoy being in Jewish spaces, and I think that's been true always, but certainly in the last year and a half, 2 years since October the 7th, there's been a lot of people have been looking for ways to connect with Jewish content meaningfully. People do want to connect with Jewish content, and there aren't that many places to do that are not school, which finishes when you're 18 anyway, and synagogues, shuls, which are not necessarily everybody's thing. People don't necessarily want to be at shul or engage with shul-type learning, and they're looking for places to learn Jewish content or be engaged with Jewish content, and I think Limud really meets that need.
It's really interesting. And do you think that the themes that are on offer or that have been on offer this year were sufficient for the appetite?
I think there's sort of endless appetite, and, you know, we can always look at, you know, where can we be broader, what else could we include? But because so much of it is self-driven, it's not that we go out and build a conference to cover off on a whole range of topics or themes. We put, you know, throw out the net, and we get what we get. It does reflect where people are at any given time. I think when we looked at the program, there was some more somber kinds of sessions than we might have had in the past, looking at how people are, you know, dealing with anti-Semitism, dealing with post October 7th world and what that looks like for people whose lives have been impacted either directly or in more cases indirectly, but through, you know, maybe for people working in the arts who might have been affected. So that just reflects where we're at. But along with that, we had the usual collection of, you know, quirky and interesting historical talks, people bringing more mystical and, you know, body and soul sort of sessions. We had, you know, yoga, laughter, and a meditation session, I think, was in the program. It just reflects what's happening in people's minds and what they're bringing, what they then bring to Limoges.
You touched on earlier the fact that the Jewish Collective are actually seeking more Jewish content. Do you think that Australians are engaging differently with their identity today than in previous generations?
Well, that's a very big question. I don't really know enough about, you know, to look at it in sort of a big historical arc. I think that in the 15 years that I've been involved with Limud, it's been fairly consistent. Limud was growing had grown quite a bit before COVID. The size of this, the scale of this Limud was probably more like a few years before COVID. It was smaller again, but very vibrant and very engaged audience. And just based on who was coming, a lot of new people, a lot of people who'd never been to Limud before.
Why are Jewish people so inquisitive?
So there must be people much better qualified than I am to answer that question.
Oh, just an observation, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think we like to talk. We like to argue, preferably in the right ways, to tease something out rather than to, you know, prove ourselves correct. We like to, we feel connected to each other. We have a strong sense of community, and that means talking to each other. This is a forum where that becomes possible.
And in your view, what's the most pressing issue facing the diaspora today?
I think finding spaces where we feel good. I think what was so wonderful about Limud is that there's a lot of anxiety out there. There is, you know, the rise in anti-Semitism, the feeling of, for many people, a feeling that, for some people, that this government is not looking out for them, for us as Jews. Certainly not a universal feeling, but there are those who feel that way and feel it quite strongly based on what I see and hear around me. And I think that there was something wonderful to be reminded that there are these positive Jewish spaces. You can be, that being amongst Jews and you can have conversations that are exciting and positive and enriching and nourishing, and that make you want to, you know, do more stuff that's Jewish. And I don't mean in terms of ritual practice, I mean, that might be the case for some, but just to be amongst Jews and talk about Jewish issues and experience Jewish things.
Just on that, how do you personally continue learning and growing outside a formal setting like Limud Oz?
Yeah, I think it's reading and talking and attending, you know, one-off talks or visiting speakers, just looking for material. And we are in a very interconnected world, so there's a lot that comes up on social media, you know, reading publications, reading about teachers in other places. And in fact, that's how we find many of our guests, is just through our own individual sort of
networks,
social media wanderings, yes, and coming across an article, being very struck by that, the writer, maybe reading more of their work and then feeling like, oh, this could be an interesting person for Limud.
Fascinating. And are you already planning for next year's guest list?
We only do it every second year in Melbourne. It's always been a Melbourne-Sydney alternating project, which is probably a good thing. As a pop-up event, it's hard to keep that energy going. Mm. Interestingly, New Zealand runs it every year, and you know, in awe of that, because it's a much smaller community and they manage to do it every year. I like the alternating year. It gives us time to breathe and sort of put things away for a while and then start again. But even so, we're having a sort of a debrief and focus group session, both with our organising committee and with the more widely with the volunteers. Some of it's about what we can do better, but some of it's just about ideas, just general ideas for the future.
Arguably, we could have these events more often because of what's going on, in spite of what's going on. in the wider community. But I just want to ask you before we wrap up, what surprised you or inspired you the most from Limud Oz? And also, what do you hope people walk away with after hearing your guests speak?
I think what surprised me, even though I've done it before, and this is a more general thing, it's not about a specific talk, but what surprised me, I'm going to compare it to childbirth a little bit. You know, when you're at the end of a pregnancy, there, you know, all going well, there is going to be a baby, and still there's something surprising when that baby is there, and that moment, that sort of magical moment. And it's a little bit like that. You put in all this work, you think, how can this work, but, you know, where it's just a series of emails, basically hundreds and hundreds of emails and some phone calls. And then magically, Sunday morning, there's a feeling of magic that the people come and the sessions happen and the teachers teach, and this wonderful sense of community and goodwill is kind of flowing through the space. And I think that's what I love, and I think it's what has that kind of magical surprise every time for me. And it's probably why I was involved for a while, for quite a while, and then have come back to it, because there's just nothing like it.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Annette Sharak, thank you so much for joining us on SBS Hebrew.
Thank you, Marielle.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.